Welcome to another episode of our On Point podcast, which is normally Rod interviewing others about their visions of the future of the built environment and other issues. But recently, I got the chance to ask him what he thinks the challenges are in our sectors. I didn't tell him it was to be part of our podcasts, but sometimes it's good to be on the receiving end. I hope you'll enjoy this short conversation.
One of your catchphrases is maintaining the asset for the building owners and the tenants. But what's interesting is we were at a conference the other day. You are looking way ahead of the future. Where is glass aftercare going? You know, in this whole area of sustainability and digitization, what more are you now doing for your customers?
We've realised that there's so many big transformative technologies coming through. On one side of a business where we design and develop and install new entrances, we've been working with BIM for a while. However, we're now moving into digital twins and people building digital models of the exact replica so they can be interoperable. So we're getting involved in that. We're doing our own prototypes of how that can happen. We're looking forward to how we can create a platform that can have joined up thinking for O&Ms. I think O&Ms going forward needs to be so standardized that it's almost at a government level, and at some point, you know, I'd like to be involved in that discussion. We've obviously got the climate targets to achieve, so I think from commercial property there will be much more consultative periods through all the people involved in the supply chain, and we're a tier two supplier at the moment. And I think from what I've seen, tier two facilities will be really prevalent and have a voice in informing how these buildings are an ecosystem at the end of the day. They are breathing, living, the fabric of a building, the envelope of the building is actually where we should start first. People have been talking about passive house, and of course that is the passive house scheme is definitely a great contribution, especially in domestic, but I think commercially, you know, we've got to be looking at building as being active or going forward as proactive. If they're proactive and they've got sensors in the building and they can feed back to the facilities managers or the whoever's operating the building, they can react faster, they can think about it long term, they can plan for finance, and I think that it will be a much better, smarter building going forward.
I mean, I think what's interesting is that you are not, when you talk about these things, it's not about, oh, I just want to improve my bottom line, I just want to offer a new service. You actually care about these things.
I think we've always, you know, I've always been interested in the different phases of construction, but I've been particularly interested in what happens when everyone goes, you know, when the final construction being done, where's the thought process in how does it get repaired, how does it get maintained, so we don't have excess waste. People don't realize the amount of waste of resources that goes in as a result trying to fix a defect or a repair, especially after the main or all the main cranes and everything that was there in the original build. It's very difficult after. So, you know, and there's very few, you know, after you've been in the industry for a certain amount of time, you sort of like, you think, okay, well, what am I leaving? What's the piece? Where's the improvement that I've added to this whole industry? So it just so happens that O&M is the, I can see if we start in this niche and really own it, and not just me, you know, like this is a sort of call to action to all people involved in facades and fabric, is, you know, we should really have our own organisation that's thinking about these digital transformations, how they talk to each other, the whole retrofit industry. And, you know, of course, with the ESG and the whole climate changes, you know, so that we've got a voice. I do have an interest in it because in, you know, by the end of the century, we will be 5 degrees warmer than we are now. And that will be unsustainable for life. So 2050, we already know that we're not going to hit the Paris Agreement of 1.5. So we're already way out. Even if we did everything perfectly, we're going to, and we've already seen some of the climate changes that happen. you know, and I'm probably one of the people that 10 years thought it's climate change, it's rubbish. However, the more I read about it, the more I speak to environmentalists, the more I go to these conferences and seminars, I become a believer. I think, okay, well, what can we do on a bigger scale? Of course, we can, you know, all do our thing with EVs and maybe draft-proof our houses a little bit more, but what could we do as an industry? And I think we could probably do a lot more than we're doing.
So I think the important point is that you are ready to partner with the building owners, who I assume the building managers, who this is now becoming a priority and you're with them.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, when we started doing the podcast, it was out of curiosity. And I think, you know, I would encourage any building owner and any facility manager who has a responsibility to start with the envelopes, start with the fabric and start being curious and like, what can we do with that exoskeleton? Because that's the first point, you know, that's where all the elements are hitting you. That's where all the risk is. That's where all the security comes from. That's where all the people that are sitting inside are getting the well-being from. You know, they're getting light through, the warmth, the controlling. Everyone's talking about, you know, catering for diversity and, you know, like as more women become working in the workplace, how do we make them feel more comfortable? Maybe it's privacy. It's all of these things that I think will lead to a much better environment, both in and out of the building.
I mean, I assume that if the right glass, like, you know, when you redo an atrium like you did at Reading, that thing now doesn't overheat, doesn't underheat, you know, you must be saving them probably literally a ton of carbon. Mm. But if we can get if you can get the recycling sorted out as well, there's a very good ESG of that work.
Yeah, I mean,
I assume, ultimately.
ESG credentials are, you know, going to be measured in so many different ways. There's people that are focusing on the social value and how people, you know, are valued and the impact of the local community. And then, of course, you've got the energy part. As far as governance, well, that's, you know, there are people that are going to account for that, whether it's fiscally or by monitoring and recording, you know, the whole carbon footprint. But from an energy point of view and a sustainability point of view, you know, one of those podcasts we talked about, the delamination problem. And photovoltaics, as great as they are, have a delamination problem. How is that being helped? By putting it into, you know, landfill. When is someone going to go, no, actually, we're going to start delaminating glass and reusing them? When are we going to actually say, okay, before we do any changes, especially now where we've got hybrid workings, there is so many floors that are going to be unused that will have to be repurposed. Well, you've got petitions and petitions of miles of glass in the whole city that could be used for something else. You know, a new school maybe, for instance, that's going to be built that could benefit from the petitioning that's going to come out of two floors of a bank. But where is that discussion? Where is that platform that's going to allow someone to say, oh, okay, well, I've got 2 miles of cladding coming out of there, we could use it over here.
Are you brave enough to lead that discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy to be part of that discussion. Our piece, or my piece, is, you know, we're such a small cog. Whilst I see the vision, I really do see it. I've got it mapped out. It needs to be partnered with some bigger, whether it's facade companies, whether it's building owners. I think it's a combination of everyone who's in it, whether it's the building owner, the fabric manager, the facilities managers, and the suppliers that are bringing in. They all bring something to this table, and it needs to be a very flat hierarchy, because it's one common goal. You know, it is the average person working at the moment still got another 30 years of work life. So for the next 30 years, you've got a chance to actually make your environment better, and certainly better for someone coming in after you.
Yeah, you haven't got to do it. You could be the matchmaker, maybe, to make those marriages.
Yeah, I mean, whatever my part is, you know, I'm just keen to be part of it. You know, I think we're all past that where we need to own anything. I think it's just contribution and collaboration is going to be the watchword for the next 20, 30 years. not one person, not one organisation is going to be able to do this. So it's the sooner everyone wakes up and say, right, let's all hold hands in this and do what we can and go off in little subgroups and everyone does their bit, the better.
There's a slight fatalism, isn't there, in the idea that nothing will change unless, you know, the government regulate for it. But I got the feeling people want to go beyond that. You want to go beyond that, because otherwise you would just be a fitter like anyone else, a maintainer, just go, until someone charges you a grand to take away that glass, you ain't going to do anything about recycling it. But you're not like that. Why not?
I think what we have, if you look around, and the more I look around, the more I see many, many people thinking about this and starting off their own little projects. And there has to be a single point of truth, I think. You know, this, for Golden Thread to work, you know, there has to be some kind of standardization. And I think that's what people are actually looking for, is show me where we can funnel and channel our energy and our resources so that they're not wasted. Now is the time that there should be a massive effort to say, okay, well, this is the standard we're all going to sit on, whether that's using this type of software or this type of platform. You know, you can have variations of it, but I do think it's a government thing. You know, it almost needs to start with the planning council.